are going to talk about sugar and spice and all things Christmas cookies this hour. We're going to get some baking tips from our guest expert from America's Test Kitchen. We will share his recipe, or America's Test Kitchen recipe, for his favorite holiday cookie, which is the glazed butter cookie. And we welcome your questions. We welcome your favorites. What are you planning on making or eating during this holiday season? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And producer Bill Martins stays with me during this next segment as he brought in... What are they, Bill?
Chocolate crinkle cookies. I've never made these before, but they look awesome.
They
look so
good.
So when I saw the picture, I had to try it.
They look so good.
And they taste very good, too, I must say.
I can't wait to try one. I did also do a little bit of baking early this morning. Seriously, at 4 o'clock
this
in the morning.
This morning you
did? Yeah, this morning I did this.
Wow, you're a trooper.
I was pulling out cookies out of the oven at like 4, between 4 and 4:30 this morning. So I was actually a little bit late. But I have to confess, though, I did not make these myself. I did.
Oh.
I couldn't. I was running behind yesterday, and you know, Bill, I'm not the world's best cook or baker.
You're all right. You've got some skill.
I try. But I didn't have time, and I stopped at the U-Bake store that I often go to. Well, I shouldn't say often. Once in a great while, I go to it, mm-hmm. and I got a ginger molasses cookie.
Those are good.
A wedding cookie. I call them pecan balls, but I think they are
also... That's what my mom called them, too.
Yeah, they're the ones that have little pieces of pecan in them, and you roll them in powdered sugar. I think that's one of my favorite cookies.
Is really?
The pecan ball, yeah.
Those are good.
And then a cutout cookie. And,
gotta it's have just, that.
And there's a snowman in front of us with little white glaze and little red sprinkles on it. But anyway, so we are hoping that you will call in and tell us what you are baking these days or what you're hoping someone is baking. And join us with your questions for our guest expert. He is Jack Bishop, Chief Creative Officer at America's Test Kitchen. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning, Bill.
Hey there.
Thanks
I'm
for being...
I'm very impressed. You're baking already?
Yeah, I know. Do you believe it? But we wanted to get in the mood for this hour, and we did this last year. We had a really great response, and it was a lot of fun, and thank you for joining us again to talk about this. And I know that the editors at America's Test Kitchen just issued a new book called 100 Recipes, The Absolute Best Way to Make the True Essentials, which also contains the holiday cookie recipe that we will talk about a little bit later. What do you consider the true essentials when it comes to holiday baking?
Well, I think, you know, in addition to holiday cookies, you need to be able to make some spectacular desserts. You know, things that will end that lavish meal on a high note. And a particular favorite of mine, I think, especially because I grew up in a big Italian family, and on Christmas Eve, we'll like to do an Italian meal, is an Italian almond cake.
Ooh.
And one of the reasons I love this recipe is that it is incredibly elegant and fancy, but incredibly simple. And you just don't tell anybody how simple the recipe was.
I like those recipes.
Yeah, those are the perfect. So it's a single layer cake, and it is made incredibly rich by replacing a lot of the flour with ground almonds. And so it's got a lot of the flavor from the almonds, obviously, as well as a really fine, moist crumb that's very rich. And then it's got eggs and lemon zest, a little almond extract in it, and you bake it in, you know, a 9-inch pan. And it's a single layer that then has some sliced almonds that are toasted on top. And you just dust it with a little powdered sugar. You can serve it if you want with a little, we have a little orange creme fraiche, just a little sugar creme fraiche and some orange segments if you want to dress it up. But frankly, I think it's fine on its own, just with the powdered sugar, a nice wedge with a cup of espresso or a cup of tea at the end of a holiday meal. It's just gorgeous and delicious, and it's almost all almonds. I mean, the cake only has 3/4 of a cup of flour in it. So I think that tells you everything else is something delicious and flavorful.
I saw you guys make that on TV, and my wife and I both at the same time were like, oh, we got to make that.
Well, we have the recipe for that. And if we reach our pledge drive goal this hour, maybe we'll put it up on the website.
That's a good incentive.
There we go. But Jack, why do you suppose holiday treats and cookies and sweets are such a big part of the holiday season?
Well, I think the holidays are a lot about memories. I think it's every 12 months we remember our loved ones, our friends, our community, and the holidays are a time that we come together. And for the sweets, I think a lot of it has to do with just the aroma that fills the house when somebody's baking. And that those memories that are triggered by the scent of nutmeg or cinnamon or butter and sugar baking in the oven are just incredibly powerful. And we don't realize how powerful they really are. And it's much about those as well as the community aspects of decorating and coming together. I mean, I think cookies are such a great thing because you can get multiple people involved and everybody gets a chance to decorate. And it's as much about, yes, these things are delicious. Of course they're delicious. But I think it's all the things that surround them that make them so special.
Yeah. And maybe we should have a cookie exchange this hour. People can call in and talk about the cookie that that they want to share with us, and we can share cookies with our listeners. We do have a recipe already on our website. It's a Jack's favorite holiday cookie, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But Bill, I want to talk a little bit about this chocolate crinkle cookie.
Yes,
because I want to eat it. So this is from the America's Test Kitchen book.
It is. It's one of their recipes. You know, the funny thing, I last year when we had Jack on, I think I had this. You guys put out a magazine. It was like 100 best holiday baking recipes or something like that. And I was tearing apart my kitchen trying to find it. But then I remembered that early this year I gave it to somebody who has since left the country. So
no, I thought it was in my kitchen because I have one.
So anyway, I found it on their app. And when I saw the picture, like I said earlier, I had to make them. But they're chocolate. They've got they're rolled in sugar and then they're dusted with powdered sugar. And that's why you kind of get that sort of frosty kind of look on the top of them. And then they crack on the top really nicely. As you can see, it's a flat cookie, but they've got those nice little cracks on them. I love that. And you get a little top layer, you know, like a top layer with a little bit of crunch, and then you've got the soft cookie cushion, if you will.
Well, what is that. I'm going to ask Jack, what causes this crack to happen?
The crack happens by using both baking powder and baking soda. You know, one of the things that we do in the test kitchen is that we are scientists sleuthing out the best way to make a recipe, and you know, this a crinkle cookie depends upon the batter very quickly spreading and then a lot of leavening going on to release the CO2 to create those cracks. And so the batter has to spread very quickly, and there has to be a sort of lot of bubbling and going on inside of that dough, creating the air, which is then going to create the fissures. And that those fissures, when you go ahead and then dust the cookie with the confection sugar, just give it this incredible look that seems very festive. You know, you see those beautiful cracks of chocolate peeking through the white confectioner's sugar. And the other key thing here is brown sugar, because these cookies are supposed to be really chewy. And, you know, when you're baking, the big difference between, obviously, the flavor differences between brown and white sugar is that brown sugar will make almost any cookie much chewier than granulated white sugar.
You know, the tricky thing that I always have a problem with, especially, and this happened yesterday afternoon when I was making these, is trying to tell when they're done. I know you want to pull them out when they're a little bit underdone. I always feel a little bit weird about doing that, and I kind of feel like maybe I should have left them in there for another minute or two. Maybe I jumped the gun a little bit too much there, but how can you tell when the proper time to pull them out is?
When you're talking about a really chewy cookie like this one, what you're really looking for is that the edges have set, but the centers are still soft. You know, when we're making a cookie like this, we will take the sheet out of the oven and then let the cookies continue to, they're sort of baking on the sheet while they sit on the rack because we don't take them off of the sheet. And so when you're looking at something like this, you know, the center, it's okay if it's still soft and doesn't seem fully set. It will continue to set up as the cookies cool on the baking sheet. But the edges really need to be crisp. Now, what's making this one hard is that in a cookie that is not with chocolate, the edges will start to brown. Now, in a chocolate cookie, you're not going to be able to tell if the edges are browned or not. And so the chocolate cookies are particularly difficult. But it is okay if in those little fissures and cracks, it seems a little raw or underdone. I mean, it shouldn't seem really raw and really underdone, but a little bit's okay because it will set up and finish baking as it cools.
Well, Joy has finished eating her half of the cookie. What did you think?
It was really good. I love the very, very intense chocolate taste, and I love the powdered sugar. It is soft inside. It is not, and I don't mind it, but it hasn't, maybe it has set, but it is, it's very, very moist.
Yeah, I think maybe another minute or so would have done a little bit of good.
It's still great.
And you know, in this whole batch makes like 24 cookies. There's an entire baking bar of chocolate in these.
Oh.
And there's even a little bit of espresso in there as well. I don't know if you could taste the coffee flavor in there as well.
I'll have to try another bite to see if I can.
Yeah, you better study that.
it was really good. But I mean, Bill, what do you think? It's very soft, but it's delicious.
I love them. I think they're great. They're one of the best cookies I think I've made from them.
Excellent. Well, you know, we have a caller too who wants to talk about the almond cake, Jack, that you're described. Debbie in Sheboygan, good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Hi, Jack. Hi, Bill.
Hey.
And so you are going to be making almond cake this Christmas.
I mean, I have made, I got the 100 Perfect Recipes book from the America's Test Kitchen and made the almond cake. It has turned out perfect every single time I've made it. Even when I've doubled it or tripled it or forgot something, it always is perfect. And so I'm taking it everywhere. It's a great dessert. It's a good breakfast cake. And so now that you've mentioned it, I'm afraid the secret might be out.
Well, it's all right. I mean, the more the merrier, right, Debbie?
Right, right. Delicious.
Oh, that's great. So you got that in this particular almond cake recipe, Jack, is in another book as well?
It sounds like Debbie has a copy of the 100 Recipes book.
Okay.
And I love this recipe. One of the things I love about it is you don't even need a mixer. You do the whole thing in the food processor because you need to grind the nuts. So you're basically turning the toasted almonds into what functions like flour. And so the whole recipe gets done, and you never even need to get the mixer out, which makes it even that much easier.
We are talking with Jack Bishop. He is a chief creative officer at America's Test Kitchen. Thank you very much, Debbie, for sharing that you will be making the almond cake, which you can find in 100 Recipes, the absolute best way to make the true essentials, which is the new book from America's Test Kitchen. We will post that particular recipe for almond cake later, presuming we make our pledge drive goal for this hour, which is 15 pledges. Bill Martins stays with me to encourage you to make a pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we've got a little ways to go to that goal. We need 14 more of you to make that pledge in the next 35 minutes. We'll reach the goal and you can get your almond cake recipe as well. So make that pledge of support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We will talk a little bit more about the need for your support during this year-end membership drive, and we will get the details for Jack Bishop's favorite holiday cookie, the glazed butter cookie, coming up after this break. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, along with Bill Martins, and we are in our year-end membership drive. This is your radio station, listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. Right now, during this drive, is your chance to make sure we are set to start 2016 in good financial shape. You make WPR programs possible as we head into the new year when you pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're looking now for 13 pledges by 7 o'clock, and you can help support the programs you enjoy and count on every day when you make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you are thinking that your tax dollars, federal and state, already support WPR, you're right, they do. And we thank you for that.
But contributions from individual listeners make the quality and variety of programs on WPR possible. Listener support is actually the single biggest piece of our budget pie. You make the difference. Because WPR matters to you, make a personal contribution to pay for the radio programs you listen to at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And during this season of giving, you can do two good things when you give to Wisconsin Public Radio today. Your donation will support the programs that you rely on. And you can ask for Food for 20 when you give $5 a month or Food for 40 when you give $10 a month.
These thank you gifts provide meals to people facing hunger in your area through regional food banks. It all starts with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I like Wisconsin Public Radio because the programming is excellent. I feel like being a listener and a contributor that it helps me be a little more in control of what's over the airwaves. Wisconsin Public Radio is important because all of us as a community are contributing and helping to make sure that we get balanced coverage on news and also a very positive listening environment. I find humor and I love the political discussion that covers both sides of the issues, and I think that's really important. I'm Amy Kocha from Green Bay, and I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
Make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Joy Cardine with Bill Martins asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio during our year-end membership drive. You decide how much to contribute, whether your pledge is $5 a month or $100 a month. We appreciate and count on your gift.
Hey, maybe you're a sustainer or you've already given this drive or you renew your membership in the mail. Thank you. We really appreciate your support there.
There is still something more you can do to help, though. Encourage a friend to join Wisconsin Public Radio. Sometimes all we need is a nudge from a friend to do the right thing.
Exactly. Help us to grow our members. Motivate a friend to make a pledge now. Tell them to go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
All right. Well, we need 12 more pledges by the top of the hour, by 7 o'clock. In order
Baker's
to,
dozen.
Yeah, your help now can help us make this goal. And I will be sure to post the almond cake recipe when we make our goal at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And this holiday season, support the radio you love and give something extra. Ask for Food for 20 when you give $5 a month or Food for 40 when you give $10 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you to Jerry from Princeton, who made a donation for his two favorite show hosts, Joy Cardine and Joy Cardine. No, Larry Mueller. Thank you very much, Jerry. That is so nice. Carla from Menasha donated and said, WPR inspires me every time I listen. What else can I say? My life is richer because of WPR.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Carla and Jerry. And you too. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins and Jack Bishop, who is the Chief Creative Officer at America's Test Kitchen. And we are talking about sweet treats to offer family and friends this holiday season, and getting some advice, some expert advice and tips from Jack. And we're welcoming your questions and we are welcoming your favorites. What are you making or what are you hoping somebody else is making? 1-800-642-1234 is the number to call to join us on air. You can also email us, talk@WPR.org, or you can post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Post a picture of your goodies if you've already made them. I did this morning. Well, you know, I cheated a little bit, but
you still made them.
Yeah. And I did post a photo of Bill Martin's talking about his chocolate crinkle cookie that he made. He really made.
Action shot.
Yeah, and you were talking about it as I was eating it, and it is delicious. So you can check that out on Facebook.
I'm gonna get a piece of that.
Yeah, it's good. And Buzz on Facebook, he posted a photo of fresh baked chewy ginger molasses and fig cookies.
Wow.
Which he made yesterday. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. That sounds really good. Jack Bishop, what do you think of that? Molasses, ginger molasses, and fig.
I love figs, and I love molasses, and I love ginger. So those sound like pretty great cookies. I love all of those rich flavors. Those say wintertime baking to me.
Yeah, that sounds delicious. Yeah. Well, could you imagine any kind of secret to make, maybe we should just, because that's a little bit of a hybrid there. What is the secret to the perfect ginger molasses cookie?
Well, a couple things. When you're using ginger, we find that a combination of ginger in cookies actually makes it better. And by that, I mean there are three forms of ginger that you can use when you're baking. You can use ginger from the spice aisle, you know, ground, dried ginger. And that often has sort of baseline flavor, but for really great ginger flavor, we'll often put some grated fresh ginger in our ginger cookies and or some chopped crystallized ginger. So crystallized ginger is kind of like candy. It's also in the spice aisle, but it's big chunks of fresh ginger that have been dipped in sugar syrup and then dried a little bit, and it has a little bit of chew. It's almost like a, you know, like an orange peel or raisins, and chopped up little bits of that can really add a lot of ginger flavor, as well as some grated fresh ginger root. Sometimes can really give a tremendous sort of hit of heat and that punch that works so well with the molasses and the sugar and the other things in a ginger molasses cookie.
Oh, that would make the one I'm eating right now much better, because I'm eating my ginger molasses from the already prepared store. You know, do you have any tips, Jack, for people who think they are, I don't know, too busy or don't have enough time? Any sort of time budgeting tricks or ways that we can make these holiday treats by ourselves?
A lot of it can be done in stages. You know, you look at the recipe and you think, oh my gosh, I can't possibly do all of that. But the great thing about a lot of holiday baking, especially holiday cookies, are that you can make the dough one night, and then a lot of them you can put in the refrigerator overnight or the freezer overnight or for, you know, a couple days if you want, and then come back and then bake them off and then eat and decorate them on a second night. And so I think a lot of times one of the things we're always conscious of when we're writing holiday recipes, how can we break up the work? And I think, you know, if you're looking at the recipe, read it to see if there are natural places where you can divide up the work and do a chunk one evening and then, you know, finish it up on a Sunday afternoon or another night. So I think that sometimes gets people scared off by see how long those baking recipes are, but a lot of times they can come apart in easy ways.
I haven't done this in a while, but I know a tip I learned from you guys was you can actually, and I don't know if this works for all cookies, but you can actually, you know, scoop the dough out, put them in a Ziploc bag or a freezer bag, and then whenever you want fresh baked cookies, just throw a couple of them on the sheet, pop them in there. If you want to do like half a dozen, you know, just, I mean, knock yourself out.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, it works. Any drop cookie, you know, chocolate chip, oatmeal, any cookie that you're going to drop, what you do is you just portion them out on a parchment-lined baking sheet and then throw that baking sheet in the freezer for a couple of hours until the dough balls are firm. And then you can just dump the dough balls right into a Ziploc bag. And then you literally can bake one cookie at a time. And so this is great. Believe it or not, my wife does this for my children's lunch boxes every morning.
Your kids love it.
She'll bake off a couple of cookies for them while she's making breakfast, and those warm cookies end up going on their lunch boxes. Yes, my children are very, very spoiled.
Do you have to let them like come to temperature a little bit, or can you go straight from the freezer to the oven?
Straight from the freezer to the oven, same baking temperature. You may need to add a minute or two to the baking time, but it is just the absolute best way. And, you know, it's a little bit of portion control. You know, sometimes you see a recipe and you're like, oh, I don't really want to make 36 cookies. It's, you know, just the two of us tonight. And so in addition to, you know, more flexibility, you have fresh cookies when you want them rather than three dozen cookies that you feel like, oh, my heavens, now what am I going to do with them all?
Chris says that her mother used grated orange rind in sugar cookies as, I guess, a special, you know, a variation. That sounds good. Orange and Christmas seem to go together to me.
I agree, and I think that citrus also does a good thing of balancing the sweetness. I mean, I think one of the things that we love about lemon and orange, besides the fact that they are so seasonal, you know, winter is citrus, is that that acidity and that brightness just, you know, perks up what are often very sugary cookies and makes them taste more complex and not so one-dimensional.
Well, we promised to get to your favorite, or at least one of your favorite recipes for holiday cookies, the glazed butter cookie. What do these cookies look like and taste like?
So these are the absolute most buttery, most rich, crisp cookies that are perfectly flat so that they are ideal for decorating. And I know perfectly flat doesn't usually sound like a good thing, but if you think about a lot of the cookies that we love that begin by creaming butter and sugar in the mixer, what you're doing is you're aerating the butter and you're making a puffy cookie, you know, something that will rise a little bit like a chocolate chip cookie. That's exactly what you don't want in a cut-out rolled cookie. You know, you want it to be absolutely flat and you don't want it to puff up in the oven. And so these cookies have a couple of scientific tricks to make sure that the texture is super buttery, yet the dough is easy to work with, and they bake up perfectly flat so you can glaze them, put sprinkles on them, whatever it is that you want. And the thing that's really interesting here is that we use something called reverse creaming. So usually you start by creaming the butter and sugar. In this recipe, we don't actually do that. We put flour goes into the mixer along with the sugar and salt, and we combine them. And then we add the softened butter a piece at a time so that it gets coated with the flour immediately. And that really makes sure that you get a perfectly even dough, but you're not really beating the flour. You're just really coating the butter with the flour immediately. The other thing is we add a little cream cheese, and the cream cheese makes the dough much more elastic and easy to work with, so you can roll it out, but it's not sticky. And that if you add more butter, you end up with a dough that sort of melts on the counter before you get it in the oven. And the cream cheese helps prevent that so that the dough is easy to work with.
I was just going to ask you, how do you make it not so sticky because of the butter? And I would never in a million years think of cream cheese. What's the science behind that?
Well, the cream cheese, you know, it's mostly butter, so the recipe still has 16 tablespoons of butter and 2 tablespoons of cream cheese. It's just a little bit of cream cheese. But the thing is that cream cheese is actually softer than butter when it's chilled. And so it makes the dough roll out a little bit more easily. And so you can keep the dough pretty cold. I mean, one of the tricks when you're working with holiday cookie dough is to take it in and out of the fridge so that it's cold. But when it's just all butter, the butter, when it's cold, is really stiff. And so then you've got this lump of dough on the counter that you can't roll. And so then you end up letting the dough get warmer and warmer and warmer with the goal of trying to make it easier to roll out, but then it sticks to the counter. Because of the way cream cheese is softer from the fridge, think about it, a stick of butter is usually much firmer than a block of cream cheese. The dough can still stay cold, so the butter is nice and cold, but it rolls out more easily because the cream cheese in the dough makes the dough softer and easier to roll. And so it's a neat little trick. It adds a little bit of tang, too. Again, with all the sugar in the cookie, sugar in the glaze, sugar in the sprinkles, that the little tang from the cream cheese is, you may not notice it if somebody didn't tell you it's there, but it does make a real difference.
Well, now that we've baked the cookies, we will we'll play a little bit with decorating them when we come back. But first, we need to encourage you to support Wisconsin Public Radio during this, our year-end membership drive. I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins, encouraging you to go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 and make your year-end gift to Wisconsin Public Radio.
That's right. Help pay for the programs you depend on. We're looking for 9 more pledges in the next 20 minutes or so. That's to reach good. Our hourly goal, and then we'll post that recipe for the almond cake from America's Test Kitchen. So 9 more pledges and we'll make that happen. Make your donation now and support the programs you enjoy at WDPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And this is, I hope you are enjoying this conversation about cooking, Christmas cookies and baking and holiday treats. It's an example of the fun, the interesting, and the educational. We're learning the science of baking here, too. The type of conversations that we have on this show from time to time.
Practical skills you can put to practice right away. Now take a few minutes to make this hour and many more hours possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you, then make your pledge at WDPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you pay your bills online. I bet you don't miss all the extra paper and envelopes floating around the house if you do that.
Right. Well, support WDPR in that same streamlined way by becoming a sustainer. You choose a monthly amount that works for you, say $10 or $20, and you set it up to come out of your credit card or bank account. It'll roll over each year, so your support of WDPR will always be current. It's really easy to do. Just go to WDPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You can pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Joy Cardine with Bill Martin's asking for your support of WPR during our year-end membership drive. Maybe your gift is $10 a month or $20 a month or more than that. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
We're looking for 9 more pledges by 7 o'clock. Your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 really helps.
Thank you to Michael from Madison, who pledged and says, WPR is a rare oasis of sanity and commercial-free information, education, and entertainment on the radio. Keep up the outstanding work. Wow, thank you so much, Michael, for your pledge and those kind words. You can help support your source of information, education, and entertainment with a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We will talk more about Christmas cookies in just a moment. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
I sure do like those Christmas cookies, sugar. I sure do like those Christmas cookies, babe.
Who doesn't like Christmas cookies and holiday treats? We are getting some baking tips this hour from our guest from America's Test Kitchen, Jack Bishop. He is the Chief Creative Officer at America's Test Kitchen. America's Test Kitchen has just issued a new book called 100 Recipes, The Absolute Best Way to Make the True Essentials, which contains the holiday cookie recipe, the glazed butter cookie recipe that we talked about in our last segment. We do have that recipe posted on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, so you can check that out if you want to make the glazed butter cookie this holiday season. We'll talk a little bit about decorating that cookie, and we will take more of your questions. I would love to hear what's on your baking agenda this holiday season. What's a must-have for the Christmas time holidays? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We have talked already about ginger molasses cookies and the butter glazed cookies. We've talked about Bill Martin's cookie that he made yesterday, the chocolate crinkle cookie, which was delicious. I did make a sugar cookie from the U-Bake store. I can't say that this is anything special. It's all right. I got a little glaze on it with some sprinkles. But maybe we should just talk a little bit about how to make the perfect glaze or frosting. I mean, there is a difference, isn't there, Jack?
There is, and I think when it comes to cookies, what you're really looking for is a glaze, which is something that is very fluid when you apply it and then sets up, you know, almost acts like glue. And the great thing about that is that if you sprinkle something into it, anything from crushed peppermint candies to colored sugar, while it's still soft, it as it hardens, it then keeps them in place. And so our favorite glaze begins with a tablespoon of cream cheese. You know, again, there's a lot of sugar in the glaze, and the cream cheese not only acts as a binder and makes that glaze a little thicker when it sets up, but balances some of the sugar. And so it's a tablespoon of cream cheese, 2 tablespoons of milk. The cream cheese should be at room temperature. You whisk them together until there's no lumps, and you're going to do this in a pretty big bowl, because then you add 1.5 cups of confectioner's sugar. Now, that's the main ingredient in any glaze. You whisk it till it's smooth, and then you may need as much as an extra tablespoon of milk in order to get it to a consistency that's thin enough to spread. It should sort of, you know, drizzle off of a spoon, not in huge clumps, but in a steady stream. And so you can adjust the consistency by adding a little bit more milk, up to maybe an extra tablespoon. And then at that point, you want to go ahead and just use a spoon, a little icing spatula, a little teaspoon to spread the glaze over your cooled cookies. One of the things is you don't never want to glaze a hot cookie, because then the glaze will melt and run off the sides. And then, you know, go ahead. You've got maybe 20 to 30 minutes until it sets up, but really you want to get those sprinkles on there at the very beginning of that time frame, so that by the time the glaze is firm, that those sprinkles or colored sugar are set into place.
Yeah, and I have to laugh because I was in a kind of a hurry this morning, but I wanted to glaze all of my sugar cookies, my cutouts. And by the time I got back to putting the sprinkles on, some had already set, and they just kind of...
I ran into that problem last year. I made the same... The icing that Jack was just talking about, and I was too slow in acting, and pretty soon it started to set, and I was like, ah!
But those, you made those cookies last year, didn't you, Bill?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, they were great. Yeah. So we have lots of people on Facebook who are sharing some of their favorites. Robin on Facebook says she makes mocha logs and pecan balls. I've never heard of the mocha log, but it sure sounds good to me. Rolled up chocolate of some sort, I bet.
Mm-hmm.
Pecan balls I have heard of, and Kathy on Facebook also says, I love wedding cookies. I think they're the same thing. Jack, do you know the wedding cookie and the pecan ball? Are they one and the same?
They are the same. Mm-hmm. You know, this cookie actually has probably a half different names. There's some Eastern European versions. People call them Mexican wedding cakes, pecan balls. They're basically any cut cookie that's got a lot of ground nuts in them, again, replacing a lot of the flour, and then they're rolled in that powdered sugar, usually twice, so that you get a really nice coating, and they're buttery and nutty and sweet and absolutely delicious.
Yeah, I only did one round of powdered sugar, given my rushed state, and you can tell they needed more than that.
They're good, though.
You like them good?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like they kind of melt in your mouth, kind mm-hmm. of, usually, if they're done well. And again, I did not make these, so I can't take credit or blame. That's a lot of butter in there, I take it, for those to make it that melt in your mouth. Or is that the powdered sugar that makes it feel that way, Jack?
You know, there's a lot of butter, and, you know, there's obviously the nuts also add a lot of richness as well. And so, you know, our recipe for these has 2 cups of nuts, 2 cups of flour, and 2 sticks of butter. And there's not a lot of sugar in them. Relatively speaking, these are not, in the cookie themselves, there's not a lot of sugar. Most of that sugar is the confection sugar that they get rolled in.
Well, we have a caller, Victoria, in Williams Bay with us. Hi, Victoria.
Good morning.
Yes, what are you baking?
I'm baking biscotti. I have come from an Italian-American tradition, but I've intermittently baked biscotti, and sometimes they've turned out just right, and sometimes they've been overly dry, and I've read how you should re-put them in the oven after they're cooked, after they're out for a while. And I want to know if there's any tricks or any suggestions to getting them just right.
Yeah, there are 2 things that can make them really dry. First thing is there any fat in the recipes? Some recipes have a little bit of butter in them, and other recipes are just eggs and no butter. And so, you know, the ones without butter are the kind that will last for weeks in a container in a coffee store and are really, really crisp. And the ones that, you know, have a little bit of butter are a little bit softer. So that's one thing to think about. The second thing is when you slice them, put them on a rack in the baking sheet so that they can then quickly dry out on both sides so you don't leave them in there too long. That second baking, biscotti means twice baked in Italian. And so you bake the logs the first time, you take the logs out, you cool them, and then you slice them in on the diagonal, and then you put them back in the oven. 15 minutes at 325 is really enough. You do not want them to become rock hard by the time you take them out of the oven. You really just want them to crisp up a little bit and firm up in the oven on that second baking.
Thank you very much, Victoria, for the call. You also suggest that maybe we might want to make scones on Christmas morning. I never thought of that. Nice little Christmas treat on Christmas morning, and you have some scone recipes in the book.
Yeah, I think it's really a nice idea to have something that, you know, again, my kids, I don't know if you can call 20-year-olds and 16-year-old kids anymore, but when they were little, the idea of waking up on Christmas morning and smelling something absolutely delicious, you know, coming out of the oven, something that everybody could nibble while opening presents. And something like scones, I think, are great because they're so simple, and there's going to be a lot of sweet things the rest of the day. I like scones because they're not terribly sweet. And so we have a very traditional British-style scone recipe that I just think is super simple. It's the kind of thing that you can literally throw together in 15, 20 minutes while you're, you know, between opening up of packages. And the trick here is that we've got, you know, it's got a lot of butter. That is really important. But we do it all in the food processor, which, again, I think it makes it really simple. And it uses softened butter, and we make the whole dough right in the food processor, which makes it really, really simple.
Yeah, and we have that recipe, too. So maybe another recipe we can post if we make our goal. And
we're getting close.
We are very, very close. Three more pledges needed to reach our goal this hour. So I hope we can do that. Let me... I don't know. Lori on Facebook says, Grandma made at least a half dozen different kinds of cookies for Christmas in huge numbers. My favorite are the molasses cutout cookies that she made. She can't roll the dough anymore. Close second are snickerdoodles. This year, I've made molasses snappers, which have a different flavor than cutouts, but are a lot less work, and snickerdoodles. But I want to try making an eighth of a batch of the cutouts this year myself. I just think that's nice that she's shared all that, and it's a real tradition in some families to do the cookie making even together or to pass down those recipes, Jack.
I agree, and I love that, you know, thinking about all those cookies that you've had. I still remember the cookies that my grandmothers used to make for me, you know, 50 years ago, and, you know, I think those are just such great memories.
Yeah. Is there one last question for you? Why should we consider baking our holiday treats this year rather than buying them?
They're going to taste better, and it's about all of the things also that surround them. You know, the fun of making and decorating, and they may not be perfect. They don't need to be perfect, but they're yours, and if they're yours, they're better than anything you could buy.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Jack Bishop, Chief Creative Officer at America's Test Kitchen. Bill Martins is still here to encourage you, yes, you, to make that one more pledge to help us reach our goal.
One more pledge, and we've got 3 minutes to do it. But let's just get that out of the way right now. I think we're going to do it. WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and help support the programs you love, like the Joy Cardine Show. Again, that's WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Listeners tell us that listening to Wisconsin Public Radio is like a tuition-free lifelong education. All you need is a radio, a computer, or a mobile device to listen on.
And it's your support that makes this lifelong learning available to you and hundreds of thousands of other people as well. You have the power to share information and learning with a huge community of people when you support WPR at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And this holiday season, let the impact of your pledge go beyond great radio. Go beyond lifelong learning. It will help people in need in your area. You can ask for food for $20 when you give $60 or food for $40 when you give $120. Your thank you gift will provide meals to a Wisconsin food bank near you. So do two good things at once with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And they did it.
Yay.
We reached the goal. 15 pledges. So great job, everybody. We'll go ahead and post those recipes on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, and you can go and make those later today and Impress everybody.
Yep. Have fun baking away, and thank you for your support. You can still call in your pledge at 888-202-2552 or go online at WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins. This is the Ideas Network.